KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Art Power, welcoming the renowned Jack Quartet to San Diego for an evening of music titled Modern Medieval, with works by Caroline Shaw, Morton Feldman, and more. Monday, May 6th at The Loft at UC San Diego. artpower.ucsd.edu.
It's time for Midday Edition on KPBS. Today is our weekly arts and culture show. We'll tell you about an event for book enthusiasts and much more. I'm Jade Hindman. Here's to conversations that keep you informed, inspired, and make you think. How the San Diego Book Crawl elevates local bookstores.
I think that there is a real risk that independent bookstores aren't going to kind of be as successful as we need them to be. And quite frankly, indies are where we find a lot more diversity on the shelves.
Plus, our film critics join us with a list of action-packed movies to watch. Then we'll have your weekend preview. That's ahead on Midday Edition.
Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
Booksellers across the country will celebrate Independent Bookstore Day this weekend, but San Diego is taking it a step further by putting together the San Diego Book Crawl, which runs from April 27th through April 29th. Terry Denherter is here to tell us more. She's the general book buyer for the UC San Diego Bookstore. Terry, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here to talk about my favorite weekend of the year.
And so glad you're here to do it. And also Susan Lee joins me too. She's this year's author ambassador. Her novels include Soulmates and The Name Drop, and she's got more in the works. Susan, thanks for coming on.
So excited to be here. America's finest city will not be outdone. We need an entire weekend to celebrate our independent bookstores.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear all about what's in store. So my first question then is, what does Independent Bookstore Day mean to you all? Terry, you said it's your favorite day of the entire year.
So Independent Bookstore Day is a celebration of bookstores all over the nation that are independent, that are local, that are supporting the communities that we live in, the people that are buying the books for the stores and doing the shopping for the products that we carry and the things that we curate. And it's just independent is a community store that really focuses on the community that we live in and figuring out what everyone wants and needs in that community.
And Susan, how about you?
I think more so than ever, the Independent Bookstore Day and something like the San Diego Book Crawl is crucial because with big box stores and with the growth of online retailers who underprice, I think that there is a real risk that independent bookstores aren't going to kind of be as successful as we need them to be. And quite frankly, indies are where we find a lot more diversity on the shelves. It's where we find really important roles of booksellers who give great recommendations and who care about the readers and the purchasers who are coming in. And I think it's super important to celebrate that and to highlight them.
Yeah, well, and the book crawl happening this weekend, again, celebrates and elevates these indie bookstores. 13 bookstores are participating this year. Tell me about the events plan, Terry.
There are several events, and because we are all independent bookstores, we all have independently different things that we're doing, but we join forces and put books into the hands of readers. And some of the things that we join on are the artwork And the author ambassador, Susan Lee, is our, this year's author ambassador. We try and tie it in with local and independent. And we have a sponsor this year that helped us with the totes. Canterbury Classics is helping us out with that. So they will have a pop-up of their products at Verbatim Books. And we, this year, for the first time ever, we actually have shuttle buses that people can purchase tickets for. However, we just sold out, so there are no more tickets left for the book buses. But
I mean, that's a good thing, right?
That is a good thing.
It just means we'll have to have more buses next year.
That's
there
right.
You go. Well, Susan, congratulations on being this year's author ambassador.
Thank you.
Yeah, carrying the legacy on. When were you first approached about it?
A few months back, actually. And the funny thing is, I had already been scheduled to be out of the country for a few months. So I flew back just for this weekend and because it was important to me. And I have actually been partaking in the book crawl for a few years, even before I was a published author. And so I love this event. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year too. And one of the things, you know, to the question previous about the shuttle buses, and what I think is so wonderful about this is that it fosters community that's beyond just like, hey, what book have you read? Because I think a lot of readers and a lot of these bookstores, they really focus on various genres, and not all of us are reading the same books. But a reader is a reader in that we want to celebrate books, and we want to have access to books, and we want to celebrate these indies that sell these books. So it's such a community effort, and it's just so great that San Diego is doing this. So I feel especially proud being a hometown girl. I've been here almost my entire life. I went to college at UCSD, so I cannot wait to stop by the bookstore. So it is, it's truly one of the biggest honors and bucket list items for my career as an author.
That's great. Well, I mean, and tell me more about what an author ambassador does.
Yeah, so I'm excited because I am going to visit most of the stores. Just timing wise, I'm not going to be able to get to everyone. I wish I could jump on one of those shuttle buses, but I'm going to spend a good amount of time and at least an hour at each of 10 of the 13 stores throughout the course of the weekend. So 4 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and 3 on Monday. And the schedule is posted online. I will be meeting readers, signing books, but also I have been to most of these bookstores or have some kind of relationship with the bookstore. So I am going to select a book off of their shelves that means something to me and what I think also helps represent that bookstore that day. So if you see me at any of the bookstores along my schedule, I will also have a book recommendation that I would love for a reader to pick up, if not my own, but something that the bookstore carries. So I'm excited about that as well. And also just being able to do a lot of press and publicity and social media for the entire event and being, like Terry, a cheerleader for what we're trying to accomplish this weekend. So I am very excited.
Oh, that's great. And the book crawl started back in 2018. Susan, you talked a bit about attending this event for years. What do you think has really changed since the event started in 2018?
I actually think the excitement around it has, I think in the beginning it was like, oh, neat. You know, a bunch of bookstores are saying, come to us on a certain day, you know, and it was really tied into Independent Bookstore Day. I think what I have loved about, I have just recently returned to San Diego. I was living in New York for over a decade. And what I was so surprised to find out is that the book community here is thriving. The publishing community, the readership is thriving in San Diego. Now, like just having people kind of band together and there being entire events, like we've had, we have a city festival of books, and then being able to offer this to the readers of San Diego is super just unique and special. So the growth of just the excitement around it, the growth of the participation. And I think what's fun is I've actually participated since 2018. I've collected each of the pins since that year. So it's kind of become a thing amongst people who have been here from the start over the last few years is kind of collecting, much like you can collect stamps for your passport this weekend. Those of us who have attended throughout the years are kind of collecting the goodies as well. So it's really nice. It's a nice tradition that we're building here.
Yeah. And Terry, you've helped organize the crawl for the past few years. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's definitely grown in excitement And every year we get more and more people involved. You know, I see it a lot like Susan does, where it gives you an opportunity to be a tourist in your own town and go to parts of the city that you might not have gone to otherwise. And, you know, you meet all these new people and create relationships with other people that are interested in, you know, have similar interests and even just different interests. It's very exciting. I think last year we had done an estimate of numbers of people who had crawled, and it was around 12,000.
So wow, amazing.
That's pretty cool to think that San Diego is a book town.
I also feel like San Diego still has a really close-knit book community, even though it's grown so much. Yes. So I'm curious what that experience has been like for both of you.
You know, what's been really wonderful is being able to go into the bookstores, recognize booksellers that I've seen in the past, run into readers that I've met before, going to events at each of these different bookstores, like book launches or festivals, and seeing so many familiar faces. That has been really wonderful. It's that community that we're fostering. And, you know, I'm not saying we're all like these stores are all businesses, but I just feel like there is more of a let's build each other up mentality than there is a competitiveness. A lot of these stores have specialties, and you know, there's a lot of recommendations for each other. And I love that. I love that even as an author, I've met other authors in San Diego. So this burgeoning book town, the city is, we're gonna give the other big cities like New York a run for their money when it comes to, you know, publishing and readership and book community and the power that a book community wields, I think, in society today.
Well, you know, I want to talk more about the events that you've got lined up for this crawl. I mean, what bookstores are having mimosas and which ones are having performances?
Yeah, please do
break
tell
it down.
Which ones.
Terry, I'll toss that one to you.
So I can tell you what we're doing at our store, UC San Diego Bookstore. On Saturday, we're actually going to have Susie Garamani and her mother, Zoe Garamani, in the store signing the book that they did together called Memory Garden. So they will be in the store from 11 to noon. And then from noon to 1, we're going to have Serena Dolan. She is also a UCSD alum. And she has a third book in a series coming out called Freeset, which is the final book in the Reset, Preset, Freeset series. It takes place in the future, and it's a really great storyline. So you'll have to come and check her out. And then, of course, we have Susan Lee on Monday from 10 to 11, and we're very excited about that. So that will be fun. And then we have Jessica Olyat, who is the author of Intentional, a Holistic Approach to Building and Maintaining a Low-Waste Lifestyle. She'll be in the store also talking about her book on Monday from noon to 1. We also have bookstore trivia where you get prizes that are pretty cool. We do it every half hour. And we have crafts, do-it-yourself crafts, with the amazing Scott Paulson from the Geisel Library. He has been with us at every independent bookstore day, and he usually brings really interesting instruments like theremins and harps, and he helps us figure out a way to create a bookmark and a song from our name. So
Wow. That's
super fun. We also were one of the lucky recipients of the Libro FM golden ticket. So we will be hiding a golden ticket to get 12 credits from Libro FM, which is also an independent audiobook company that is fantastic. And then we're going to have 25% off the general books and the general book gifts in the store and the book crawl with all of the amazing prizes.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun and a lot to enjoy. I've been speaking with Terry Den Herter, the general book buyer at UCSD Bookstore. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Also, Susan Lee, this year's author ambassador. Thanks to you too, Susan.
Thank you so much. We hope to see you at the book crawl, everyone.
And that San Diego book crawl will run from April 27th through April 29th. You can find out more on kpbs.org. Coming up, film critics Beth Accomando and Yazdi Patavla give us their list of action-packed movies to watch.
The movie is at an 11 at every at every time. And Patel is going for one and only one thing, which is to summon the mythic.
You're listening to KPBS Midday Edition.
Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Jade Hindman. It is not quite summer, but action films are already hitting cinemas, so get ready for a heart-pounding, riveting conversation with our midday movie critics as we highlight some new and old films to check out. Once again, I welcome Beth Accomando, our KPBS Cinema Junkie. Beth, hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Also, Yazdi Patavla of Movie Wallace Podcast. Yazdi, how's it going?
Good.
Good, good. It's always great to have you all in studio. So let's start with a film that is already playing in theaters, Monkey Man. Here is part of the trailer.
You need to fight for your mother, for all of us.
Anger will not quiet your soul, my son.
Don't call me son.
So Beth, does this film fall into the action revenge category?
Yes, it does. And actor Dev Patel, whom people should recall from Slumdog Millionaire and Line, said that he wanted to make a revenge film about faith. And he turned to the legend of Hanuman for inspiration. And Hanuman is a Hindu god that appears as half human, half monkey. And he's known for his strength, loyalty, and cleverness. So Patel, who also wrote and directed this film, which is no small task, so this film is really a blast. It moves quickly. Patel is great. He gives 110%. I only have one complaint. And as an action junkie, I hate to see action films where the action is shot like all shaky cam with a lot of fast cuts, because to me that seems to signal that the person, the actor or the stunt team or the choreography team, can't sustain a fight without making a cut. So that's the only real complaint I have. I thought at one point, like when he gets all dressed up in his John Wick suit and is ready to really wipe out the bad guys, I thought the style was going to change a little bit and become a little more steady and fewer cuts, but it didn't. So, you know, it seems like Patel worked out and got to the point where he probably could sustain the action and the choreography. So I'm not sure where that decision kind of came from, but I really wish that it had been a visual style where you could see more of the action better and enjoy more of it in kind of a more fluid sense.
All right. Fair enough. Yazdi, what did you think?
Oh, I liked it a lot. It's a very simple film. You know, Indian man avenges his mother. That's Monkey Man in its entirety. That's it. But there's an undeniable cinematic quality to this, like a graphic novel pulpiness with which the visuals come at you. And like you said, Beth, the movie is at an 11 at every at every time. And Patel is going for one and only one thing, which is to summon the mythic. And this maximalist approach, you know, results in a movie that is never not myth-building with this particular character. So I liked it, and I like the fact that he is so committed as a first-time filmmaker, and he keeps jumping off the cliff again and again. I mean, he has seemingly endless energy to give to this. But ultimately, I think, you know, what is the great strength of the film also becomes a bit of its weakness, because as Beth mentioned, for me at least, it wore out its welcome in the last act as you're pummeled with, you know, one more montage consisting of breakneck cuts. And I just wish he had been a little bit more judicious in doling out the good stuff. But even then, I think this is a project of such unbridled passion. This is a labor of great love from him. So we need to give credit where it's due. This is one of the giddier film watching experiences.
All right. You all are still tough critics, boy. All right. Well, I mean, Yazdi, Monkey Man is an Indian film in terms of its star and its location, but it is filtered through Hollywood. So can you recommend any Indian action films?
Gosh, I wouldn't know where to start. But let's start with RRR, which is a movie which won an Oscar a couple of years ago. I think that movie represents the pinnacle of action. You got to see that movie just for the sheer over-the-top panache with which these action scenes have been carried out. It's something to behold. I have my issues with the movie, but the action, oh boy, it's top rate. I also want to recognize two other movies. One is a movie called Dhoom, and it's had two sequels since then, Dhoom 2 and Dhoom 3. And that movie those movies ask you to leave your brains at the door, and they all consist of these ridiculous over-the-top heists which have been rendered with so much giddy silliness that, you know, you can't watch those movies without a smile on your face. And on the other end of the spectrum is the movie Parinda, which means bird or dove. And that is a far more grittier gangster set film in Mumbai. And a lot of what you see as action in current Indian cinema comes from this particular movie. So that's definitely one to check out.
And Beth, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would second all of those. And I would add the director for RRR was S.S. Rajamouli, and anything he's done has a real pop entertainment, crowd-pleasing vibe to it. Those films that he does are called Tollywood, mm-hmm. as opposed to Bollywood. And he's also done Bahubali 1 and 2, which I had the pleasure of showing one of those. And watching these films with an audience is also a real plus, because it does rile them all up. And he also did one called Iga, in which a character comes back as a fly, and there is a musical number with the fly. So, I mean, all of his stuff is great. But if you want a little more grit to your action and a little less over-the-top fun, I would add that anything by Ram Gopal Varma, he does these kind of Mumbai noir gangster films. And there's films like Shiva and Company, which I just love. And they're much more like the musical numbers kind of are more organic. It's you're at a cabaret or something, and that's where, you know, somebody starts to sing. But they're very dark, gritty, kind of real-world-based gangster films, and I love those too.
All of them sound like something very interesting to check out. I mean, we can agree that John Wick sort of represents the pinnacle of modern action films. But Beth, you spoke to the director, and he noted that one of his inspirations actually comes from silent films.
Yes. So Chad Stahelski was a stuntman turned filmmaker, and he even opens John Wick with a scene in which there is a projection on a New York City building of a silent movie. I'm not even sure which film it was, but it looks like an action scene from something that Charlie Chaplin or Buster Keaton might have done. But he has noted that he is inspired by these silent comedians, and the silent film actors were really kind of our first stuntmen. I mean, they were doing crazy, outrageous things to get a laugh, but they were risking their lives to do it. And so he notes inspiration from people like Buster Keaton, Harold Lloyd. These are also the people who inspired Jackie Chan in the 1980s, who's another one of the, you know, brilliant action stars. And what Chad Stahelski takes from the silent comedians, not just kind of the danger of the stunt, but he really understands how using long takes, wide takes, fewer cuts really allows you to appreciate the action that's happening within the frame. Like, you don't have to cut away if you don't need to. And it really lets you appreciate the skill and the prowess of the stunt people, the choreography team, the actors. And so I think that's really one of the reasons why John Wick is so good. And both he and Jackie Chan also drew on MGM musicals and people like Gene Kelly. And again, for that sense of let the action play out so the audience can really appreciate it.
And Yazdi, I know you've got a silent film recommendation for us.
Yes, I adore the movie Safety Last, which, by the way, you can watch on YouTube any old day. It's a short hour and a half, if that, movie. And you have to watch that movie for the cleverness and the gumption, because there is no special effects. There is no CGI. There is nothing here. It is a man climbing up, you know, on the face of a building. It's just remarkable, because what you're seeing is actually what happened. And this movie, of course, is very famous with Harold Lloyd climbing up to the top of this building where there is a clock, and then he, you know, jumps on it and hangs by the hands of the clock. And that's one of the most iconic scenes in cinema. And I do agree that folks like Harold Lloyd and Buster Keaton, I mean, you can trace the DNA of any action movie right now to those guys. I mean, watching The General, for example, is just like a third eye opening. It's so good.
And you can see literal scenes stolen from those movies in Jackie Chan. Safety Last is one. And there's Jackie Chan hanging off of a, I don't know if it was a clock also, but he's hanging off the edge of a building, just like Harold Lloyd did. So, yeah, there's a long lineage there. And I really urge people to go and watch some of these silent films. Mm. You will be so amazed at the crazy stunts they do.
Talk about suspense. Well, what other action films do we have to look forward to in theaters?
Well, since we've been talking about stuntmen, there is The Fall Guy coming. Now, it's inspired by the old TV series about a stuntman, but I believe that the movie, which I haven't seen yet, diverges completely from what the TV show was. But in that film, we have Ryan Gosling playing a stuntman who ends up getting sent on some kind of secret mission. But the stunts in that look amazing. It's David Leitch, who was the co-director of the original John Wick. And so I'm sure it's going to be jam-packed with fun stunts. But currently in theaters, we also have Guy Ritchie's kind of jaunty World War II actioner, which is The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
What do we have here? Gestapo.
How'd you know?
Badder they are, the better they're dressed. Really must get me one of those coats.
They must be here for Apple.
So this claims to be inspired by real events, but it feels more like a kind of lightweight James Bond film. And one of the characters actually happens to be the James Bond author Ian Fleming, who did work for British intelligence. So this film is a lot of fun. It does have a high body count, but I feel like Nazis are the last villains available that you can kill without remorse and, like, get away with it. So they're mowed down quite a bit. But I would also like to point out that Guy Ritchie turned to another real war story for last year's The Covenant, and that's a lot grittier, a lot more serious, and it's kind of showing a more mature Guy Ritchie in that film, something that I haven't really seen very often. So I would recommend both of those to people.
Yazdi, what do you recommend?
First, I second The Covenant for sure. What I recommend is Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max saga, which is going to be released later this year. And I think any discussion about modern day action cinema cannot be had without talking about Mad Max Fury Road, which came out a few years ago. And that movie is exhausting, because the entire 2-hour movie is just action nonstop. And I watched it like with my jaw on the floor, and I could not get enough of it. Again, very little special effects used. George Miller pretty much, you know, films things as they're happening. There is never any confusion of who is doing what to whom in super short cuts. Everything is so clear in your mind. He's one of the great masters, I think, when it comes to action cinema. And, you know, he's in his 70s right now. And, you know, the fact that he's coming out with a new film is cause for a lot of excitement.
Nobody does car stunts better than George Miller.
As a child, my world was forever changed. My mother was magnificent. And he took it all from me.
All right, and quickly to go out, do you have any movie suggestions that we're all just really sleeping on?
Yes, there's so many. I'll avoid all the Hong Kong action films, but I will suggest District B13 for introducing audiences to some jaw-dropping parkour, and Hardcore Henry for how to use shaky cam right, and then Shoot 'Em Up for just ridiculous, like, Looney Tunes fun action.
Yazdi, what do you have?
I recommend the movie Hannah, which came out in 2011. It was from the British director Joe Wright, and it kind of didn't get the attention it deserved, I think. It's about this little girl who is trained to become a ruthless assassin by her father in this Arctic wilderness. And she has to exact revenge against these ex-CIA spies who are coming at her, chief of which being Cate Blanchett. And I think we can all agree that Evil Blanchett is the best is the best Blanchett of all. So it's got some amazing action scenes. It's set in, you know, Germany and Spain and Morocco, and just all shot on location with a very young Saoirse Ronan in the lead role. Definitely worth checking out.
Well, thank you both for an action-packed viewing list. You can find more recommendations from both our critics on Beth's Cinema Junkie blog at kpbs.org. I've been speaking with Beth Accomando, our KPBS Cinema Junkie, and Yazdi Patavla of Movie Wallace Podcast. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jade.
Still ahead, we're showcasing local artists in your weekend preview.
We all need an audience in the work that we do, and that audience helps us understand our own work better, and it helps us discover and meet other people who are then going to inspire us on our own creative journey.
KPBS Midday Edition is back after the break.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating and Air, Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated for three generations, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com. Because we know how.
Welcome back to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Jade Hindman. You know, every Thursday, we like to check in with our KPBS arts producer, Julia Dixon Evans, to find out what's on her arts and culture radar. She joins us now with a weekend preview. Julia, welcome.
Hey, Jade. Thanks for having me.
Always glad to have you here. So this weekend marks the 12th annual Medium Festival of Photography. What can you tell us about this event?
Yeah, so this is something that it draws a lot of local photographers and photography supporters, but also people travel here for this festival from all over the world. There's workshops and lectures, kind of a lot of emphasis on working photographers and craft and things to help them with their careers, but also there's photography exhibits and fun stuff to do. You don't have to be a photographer to benefit from this festival. And you also don't even have to be registered for the festival for a lot of the functions and events. Some of them, yes, but not all. And the festival, it starts today and runs through Sunday. It's based kind of at the Marriott in Old Town, but there's events all over the region, including in Tijuana.
Wow. And you had a chance to sit down with the festival's founder, Scott Davis of Medium Photo, to talk about what's changed in the community and in the photography world since the festival began. So let's listen to that interview.
This is the 12th annual festival. Can you go back to that very first year and talk about why you started this festival? Maybe what was going on with photography locally at that time?
Yeah, Medium started because I knew a lot of people working in fine art photography who didn't have a platform for their work. And I myself, as a photographer, learned the most in my career by hearing other artists speak about their work and by attending educational workshops. And those didn't exist in San Diego. And I thought, we need this.
And then I'm curious if you have seen things change since you began, whether with the way that you operate the festival or with the photography community as it's grown here.
It definitely has changed. A lot of that has to do with technology. You know, for some reason, people often ask if we only show analog photography. And the answer is absolutely not. Photography is a very diverse and far-reaching medium, and most people who use photography today use digital. That has changed somewhat in terms of the number of people who use analog. It's actually been increasing, and that's a really interesting aspect that we've watched over the years of the festival.
Now, in the festival this year, the keynote speaker is Cara Romero. Can you tell us about her and her work and what she is bringing to the festival?
Yeah. So Cara is an indigenous artist from the Chemehuevi Nation. It's a Mojave Desert tribe based in what we call California and Nevada. She's actually based out of Santa Fe today, but she grew up in that region and grew up also in other parts of the United States. So her work foregrounds indigenous people as current residents of this continent and as the original residents of this continent. And she really plays beautifully with those ideas, both to celebrate indigenous people, but also to show them as people that are deeply engaged with all the concerns of the 21st century.
All right, so let's talk about some of the other things that are happening in the festival. One of the things that I'm interested in is ways that people who love photography and love art can benefit from this festival and participate, even if they're not photographers or they're not art makers themselves.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different opportunities for people to engage. One of them is a pop-up photography market, and that is a space where photographers from the community will have tables and have an ability to share their work. We'll have books for sale, we'll have prints for sale, can talk to you about the work that they do. We also have something we call the Open Portfolio Walk, and those are a number of participating photographers, about 45 in total, who are visiting San Diego. Many of them are actually from San Diego as well, and they are sharing portfolios of their work. There's a number of exhibitions that we have. We have artist talks that are free. We have exhibition receptions and also a bus trip to Tijuana on Sunday.
Yeah, tell us about that. What is the connection or what is the draw for you to take this organization across the border?
Yeah, you know, Tijuana is really such an important part of our culture here in San Diego. And over the years, I've met many artists who live in Tijuana and are making work that really deserves to be seen by a wider audience. The other part of that is that Tijuana is a very difficult city to access. The navigation of the city is not easy. It's not easy to find art spaces. And so we started this program in 2018 of taking bus tours down and basically giving people access to a whole new culture and artists that they might not otherwise meet.
Photography as a practice seems very much like a solo effort. I'm wondering what need is met by building community.
You know, photography is a solo activity, and we all need an audience in the work that we do. And that audience helps us understand our own work better, and it helps us discover and meet other people who are then going to inspire us on our own creative journey.
And that was Scott Davis, founder of Medium Festival of Photography, which runs through Sunday. You were discussing ways for everyone in the community to experience the Medium Festival. You also mentioned some of the free things that people can check out. Give me a list.
Yeah, so one of the things that's at the Marriott, like the festival headquarters, is this photography pop-up. It's kind of like a market. And that's running Thursday evening and then also Saturday throughout the day from 10 to 4. Also Thursday evening is an open portfolio walk where people who have photography they'd like to share with other people, they're like tabling with their photography. So that's cool. That's Thursday at 6:30 at the Marriott. There's also a keynote lecture with photographer Cara Romero. This is not free, but you can get a ticket just for this event. It's at the San Diego Central Library downtown. That's Friday night at 7, and tickets are $20 for that. unless you do have a festival pass, and then it's included. And Cara Romero has an exhibit that's opening the next day, opening on Saturday at MOPA, Museum of Photographic Arts in Balboa Park. That opens Saturday. You can check that out from 11 to 5 on Saturday. That museum is always free or donation-based, so that's one more thing. And then there's a couple of connected exhibits at Bread and Salt. These have free public openings from 5 to 7 on Saturday. There's Size Matters at the Athenaeum Art Center, and then Monica Areola is at Best Practice. So those are a couple of things you can check out for free.
Oh, that's always great. Well, let's see what else is going on in arts and culture this weekend. In San Ysidro, the semi-regular series Cedro Saturdays is back. What do you know about that?
So again, this is all free, even the tacos, while supplies last, apparently. So this is an event. It's a family-friendly community event that's based in two spaces in San Ysidro that are run by an organization called Casa Familiar. There's the Front Art Gallery and then El Salon, which is a theater. They're just about a block away from each other. A couple of the highlights: at the Front, you can check out this exhibition called Invisible Traditions. This is the gallery's annual Dia de la Mujer exhibition. And every year they do this. It coincides with International Women's Day. And that exhibit is only open for just a few more weeks. It closes in early May. So check that out. And then also at the Front, they just soft launched this new project called The Front Books, which is like a library and display area of art books that it's free and open to the public to use and reference those books. That'll be open during gallery hours. So that's also during the Cedro Saturdays event. And then at the El Salon Theater, there's a performance, a theatrical performance of this production by a couple of Far South Border North grant recipients. There's Mabel Reynosos and Johnny Bear Contreras. That's at 2 p.m. And then also at 3 p.m., there's going to be a mural workshop for the community to participate in. So there will also be vendors and artists displaying their work, live music and DJs and food all afternoon. It's from 1 to 4 p.m.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, also the San Diego Opera is back on stage. What will they be performing?
They're bringing Puccini's Madama Butterfly. And this is actually a San Diego Opera favorite. They last performed this in 2016. The story follows a young woman in Japan who's known as Butterfly. She falls in love with an American officer, Pinkerton. And as far as she knows, she marries him. And then he returns home, and she waits for him. She gives birth to their son and raises him alone. But unbeknownst to her, Pinkerton is back with his American wife and family. This is considered one of the Puccini masterpieces. The music is powerful and beautiful. And they will be joined by the San Diego Symphony to perform that. There are two performances. There's one Friday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 at the Civic Theater. And if you can't make it to the opera, you could probably listen to the Weezer album, Pinkerton, which is inspired by the opera. You have two options there.
All right. Options are always good. You know, this weekend, there's also a lot of anticipated annual events like the San Diego Book Crawl and the big Mission Fed Art Walk in Little Italy and Art Alive at the San Diego Museum of Art, right?
Right. I mean, there's so many big things. Good luck if you are trying to choose or maybe trying to do all of them. But we'll start with the Art Walk, since it's this one is free, and you can also just drop in and drop out anytime. There are 250-something artists bringing stuff like sculpture, painting, photography, jewelry. And there's also performances and family activities. And this is the 40th year of this Art Walk in Little Italy, and it is, in fact, the longest-running Art Walk of its kind in the region. It's kind of like the mother of art walks in San Diego. And to get there, you can also download a free trolley pass that you can use all weekend. You can find that at the artwalksandiego.org website while supplies last.
All right. And let's talk flowers. The San Diego Museum of Art's annual floral show and fundraiser runs this weekend. It sounds exciting if you love flowers like I do.
Right. And the basic premise is that floral designers create these floral displays. They're basically sculptures that are based on works of art. And then those flowers or botanical displays are set right next to the artwork so you can see what actually inspired it. Some of these are really literal that are shaped just like the artwork, and some of them are more abstract. It's really incredible to see. And this year's theme is about the art of India. So there will also be a special exhibition of South Asian paintings. And of course, one of the big draws is always the rotunda, where a selected designer gets to create this massive floral installation. And the museum's lobby is like this two-story space. This year is Megha Modi is doing that installation. And Art Alive technically starts tonight. There's a preview dinner, and then the museum member preview is tomorrow, Friday morning, and it opens to the public at noon on Friday and will be on view all weekend. Saturday and Sunday afternoon, there's a kid-friendly area, the Garden of Activities, that's out in the sculpture garden. There's lots of little, like, creative crafts to do for families. And the whole thing is free for museum members, or tickets are $40 for adults and $5 for ages 7 to 17. Kids under 7 are free. And they do recommend that you reserve a timed ticket either way.
All right. And if we are looking for live music, what are some of your picks?
There is a great show tonight at Music Box. It's Gone Gone Beyond, Lily Fangs, and then local Jesus Gonzalez. Gone Gone Beyond is this incredible Americana folk band, and this is their track from their full-length album called 2030. This song's called Coast. And one more, this is at Soda Bar on Sunday night. Nico Play will be coming to town, but local Aloe Vera will also play. This is their track, Topo Chico, which I was instantly a fan of just from the song title. This is a great band, and their sound is really fun and unique, and it's just a really great listen.
All right, there's a lot to check out this weekend. You can find details on these and more arts events or sign up for Julia's weekly arts newsletter at kpbs.org/arts. I've been speaking with KPBS arts producer and editor Julia Dixon Evans. Julia, thank you as always.
Thank you, Jade.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated for three generations, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating, and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com. Because we know how.